Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our title this morning for the message is in the form of a question, and the question is this: how is your eyesight? Taken from the epistle reading today, 2 Corinthians 5, especially verse 7, which simply reads, "We walk by faith, not by sight." I encourage you to find the green insert for our sermon outline as we consider our theme, "How's Your Eyesight?" Oh, the wonders of glasses, contact lenses, laser eye surgery. Every morning I wake up, at least 6 days a week that is, and go out for my long run with my Border Collie Blade. And when I look on the horizon, everything is fuzzy and blurry and I can't make it out. But then I put on my glasses. And these days, thank goodness, thank God, I put on my sunglasses too. Woohoo! And now everything in the distance is sharp and clear. And I can enjoy when I get up in the morning for the long run to see the sun just rising, to see the waters of the Fraser River, to see the ocean. It's a beautiful sight. Now, without my glasses on, I really can't see many of you very clearly. But I know you're out there, so don't leave or make any faces, because I do know where you live. But I need your help with the sermon this morning. If you're wearing glasses, may I ask you to take them off at this time? If you're not wearing glasses, would you simply close your eyes or put your hands over your eyes? Humor me just for a moment. How's the view? Blurry? Dark? Not so clear? Not being able to see clearly is frustrating, but it also can be dangerous. If you can't see clearly, you miss what's important in life, you miss what's enjoyable in life, you may miss what could save your life. If you can't see clearly, go ahead and put your glasses back on or open your eyes. I never want to encourage anybody here to close their eyes during the sermon, for goodness sakes. But now listen to a truth of Holy Scripture. That's what all this fol-de-rol has been about. Here's the truth of Holy Scripture. Spiritual sight is of utmost importance. Spiritual sight is of eternal importance. But the problem is, the natural sinful eyes that we all have so often are blinded to heavenly things. Our eyes are blinded to heavenly realities. Today we're going to talk about a story from 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a story of a servant of an Israel prophet named Elisha. Listen to the text as I read to you just selected verses. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with chariots and horses completely surrounded the city. 'Oh, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them.' And Elijah prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes so that he can see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and behold, he looked and saw the hills full of the Lord's horses and chariots of fire all around them." Here's the scene. Israel was at war with a powerful nation called Syria. And the king of Syria was terribly upset and angry with Israel's prophet Elisha. So the Syrian army and its troops completely surrounded the town where Elisha and his servant were staying. And the servant could not see God's care. All the servant could see, much like many of us today, was his predicament and his problem. Note verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, All he could see was an army with chariots and horses that surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. All he could see in his spiritual blindness was the predicament. But there's spiritual blindness in our lives today. We have eyes, but often we can't see God's truth. Our sin blinds us, even blinds us to God's care. And all we can see and all we focus in upon is our personal predicaments. Our natural sinful condition is this. Listen to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 8. Assemble the blind people who have eyes, but they cannot really see. The truth is, the devil also causes spiritual blindness. In Genesis 3, verse 5, we read these words. The devil speaking to Adam and Eve. Did God really say you shouldn't eat the fruit of the trees? When you eat it, your eyes will be open. Then you'll really see. The devil is active today, even as he was in the days of Adam and Eve, to blind us to God's truth. Today, the devil uses tools not like fruit in a tree, but he uses tools like television. He uses tools like the voices of our friends and neighbors. He uses tools like many activities that compete for our attention on Sunday mornings. He uses tools like life's problems and our fears and our doubts to blind us to God's truth. Today, as in Jesus' day, according to Matthew 15, 14, the blind are leading the blind. That is to say, there are people today who claim to have spiritual sight, who claim to have spiritual revelation, who claim to have spiritual truth, and maybe they've written books, maybe they've got videos, maybe they have a spiritual religious organization and a following, but in their blindness, apart from God's word, they are leading weak people to destruction. The blind today are leading the blind. The truth is, God alone can open our eyes. Let's go back to our story from 2 Kings 6. The prophet's servant could only see the predicament. He and the prophet were surrounded by the Syrian troops. But then God enabled Elisha's servant to truly see. Listen to the text again. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And as he looked, behold, he saw the hills full of the horses of God and his fiery chariots all around Elisha. With God-granted heavenly vision, the servant saw not just the predicament of the Syrian troops, he saw on the mountains behind the Syrian troops the horses, the fiery chariots, the angels, the heavenly armies of God protecting them. I wasn't planning to share this story in the sermon, but it suddenly came to me many years ago in the house of a very conservative Lutheran pastor. His little boy saw angels of God surrounding their home. Quickly, here's the story. I know I'm on the clock. One of the young girls in our church at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Spokane, Washington, had a girlfriend who had run from home and got involved in a demonic cult, a devil-worshipping group. She tried to break away from this group, but she was warned by the guy who was in charge, if you try to run away, we will take your life. It was no idle threat because at those days in the area of Spokane, this witch coven activity was especially going on in a little town called Rathdrum, Idaho. The police had found people who had been dismembered and thrown in garbage cans who were involved with this terrible cult. She was afraid for her life. So she ran to her best girlfriend, who was a member of our church, and her girlfriend took her to the pastor's house. Thanks a lot. Because she had been warned on Halloween night, at the stroke of midnight, the high unholy festival day of demonic worship, they would find her and take her life. So this friend took this girl to her pastor's house. The pastor took the threat seriously, called the elders. They gathered in the pastor's living room in a circle, put her in the middle, and prayed for her and vowed to pray aloud for her all through the midnight hour. About that time, her little three-year-old son went to the window and opened it up and said, "Daddy, there's men in white robes all around our house holding hands." And the father, the pastor, thought, what could this possibly be? And he looked out the window and in his sophisticated adult faith saw nothing. But he knew that his little boy would not tell an untruth to him. He believed that this little child with eyes of faith saw the very angels of God protecting that household, protecting that family against these onslaughts of these demonic people. St. Paul in our text today says this: we walk by faith, not by sight. We might say, Lord, give us the simple faith and spiritual sight that our children have as they put their trust fully in their Lord. Oh God, give us a deeper faith. Give us a deeper faith and a trust to see there is more going on in our lives than meets our spiritual eye. My friends, we pray today, dear Lord, help each of us here today to look through, to look beyond our present predicaments in which we live, and to see on the hills around us the armies of God, the chariots of fire, God's presence Himself taking care of us every step of the way. When you go into that hospital room, when you go into that place for surgery, when you face that terrible diagnosis, when your loved one shares heartbreaking news, Lord, give us eyes of faith to see there is more going on than meets our eyes. Lord, open our eyes that we could see your chariots of fire, your army of hosts protecting and guarding us, your children, today. The Lord loves to open the eyes of the blind. Psalm 146:8 says these words: the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those down who were bowed down. He raises them up. Did you see that at the cross of Jesus, the powers of darkness have been dispelled? At the cross of Jesus, our eyes are opened so that His light might shine in. At the cross of Jesus, God opens our eyes. At the cross of Jesus, God raises up those who've been bowed down in shame and guilt and fear. At the cross of Jesus, the forces of sin and death and the devil are defeated. At the cross of Jesus, the very powers of darkness are dispelled by His resurrection glory and resurrection light. At the cross of Jesus, the gates of heaven are open to all believers in Him. At the cross of Jesus, your eyes are opened to see the love of God in the flesh, who loved you so dearly. He could not stand an eternity apart from you, but rather laid down His life just for you. Just for you, and opened our eyes to the truth of that scripture we know by heart, but so often forget. For God so loved Stephen. For God so loved Beth. For God so loved Carol. Open our eyes, Lord, to see your love. And use us, Lord, today, we pray. Use us to open the eyes of the blind in our lives today. But before we go looking for those that we think are spiritually blind, we confess our need to truly see. Psalm 119, verse 18 puts it this way. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wondrous things in your word. Our eyes are open, then with humbleness and joy, we lead others to see his light as well. Listen to our text again. Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. My dear friends, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up on that spiritually blind person in your life. Maybe they live in your same house. Maybe they're your neighbor down the block. Maybe it's a dear family member or friend or a coworker. Don't you ever give up on that spiritually blind person in your life. Remember that God used someone in your life to help open your eyes to the light of his truth. Our prayers that we could strive to be like an Elijah. He did not give up, but he prayed and he led his servant to see there is more in this life than meets the eye. Well, I have to confess that Beverly and I have to be careful how I say this, because when I called our daughter this week, I said, Abigail, sit down, I have something to tell you. And Beverly on the other line said, no, it's not that. That is, we're not expecting. No, that's not what it was. But Beverly and I are so blessed to live where we do in Steveston. Just outside our back door is the Fraser River, as it soon empties into the Georgia Strait. Just across the Fraser River is the Rifle Bird Sanctuary, with all the beautiful sights there. Just outside our front door are farmers' fields filled with a grain crop, potatoes, and pumpkins. So many wonderful sights. And because of these things, Marlene, I see what you're doing up there now. Because of binoculars, because of these things that magnify our natural eyes, we can enjoy things we never could in any other way. We see the seals playing in the water. We see the eagles in the trees building their nests. We see the herons who are gone fishing. We see all kind of boats going up and down the water. And if we fix these to the biggest magnification, we can even see Herb Bessie with his shotgun hunting geese in Ladner. Did you know that? Today, we've gathered to give thanks to God for his gift of spiritual sight, that we might know there is more going on in our lives than meets the eye. And on that hillside in our lives will be found the chariots of God and his holy angels, God himself caring for us. Thank God, thank you, God, today for the gift of spiritual sight, that we might see, that we might enjoy, that we might share with others the wonders of God's love, God's majesty, God's protection, and God's salvation. In the name of Jesus, we walk by faith, not just by sight. Amen.